God bless you. I'm so happy to be with you. My name is Aaron, and I'm blessed to worship with you. Josh, thank you so much. You are gifted by God, and with that gift, you bless others, and I'm so thankful for that. I want to thank all of you also for joining me. This has been a really good, but a really challenging week, and so I'm really grateful to be able to slow down, get into God's Word with you, to worship God with you, and then right here, just be able to apply some of what we're learning throughout our week, throughout our life. Hey, would you pray with me? God, I want to thank you so much for this morning. I want to thank you for the opportunities. I want to thank you for the challenges. I want to thank you for the blessing. Thank you for some of us having smooth sailing, and for some of us just really wondering when the next foot's going to drop. God, thank you that you are still loving us, and you always will, and you will never leave us nor forsake us. God, would you open up our minds and our hearts to you, I pray. Right here, right now, that we would understand your word, we would let it and allow it and want it to change us and to encourage us and to inspire us. God, I pray all this in Jesus' name. Amen. All right, hey, I want to remind you that there are a lot of people right now who are getting laid off, furloughed, let go. And then there's a number of people that aren't. And so if you're in a situation where you can help, I'd encourage you to keep giving. Give to this church, give to the food bank, give to your favorite charity, whatever it is. I'm not trying to tell you just give to Crosswater, although we're helping lots of people and we're getting lots of people that are asking for help. And so if you trust us and love us, then give here. If we're your church body right here, like you belong to Crosswater as a church family, then please tithe and give here. But no matter what, please look for ways to bless people with how you've been blessed. All right. With that, I want to remind you that we're in the middle of a series called Even If, Love Like Jesus, and we're going through 1 Corinthians. Now, the church in Corinth was a normal church. They were really messed up. They really needed Jesus, and they knew Jesus. They made lots of compromises, and there was lots of problems that they were dealing with. Last week, we talked about sexual problems, and I told you I'm not going to talk about sex today. I am going to say this. One of the things that we are praying for and looking for as a desired outcome in this series, Even If, Love Like Jesus, going through 1 Corinthians together, is that sexuality would be flipped. The script on that would be flipped, that it isn't just for you. It's actually to honor God. So sex is an act of a holy offering to God because he made it for us. And so I really want to encourage you to do that, and don't turn it into a game. And if and when you need help talking about that, please reach out to us. You can hit me up at aarond@crosswaterchurch.org. Email me, can have a discussion that way, maybe a Zoom call. And there's other guys here, other women here that would love to talk with you. So please reach out if you need that. All right. And so with that, I want to tell you that, like I mentioned last week, your lives, your freedom is not just for you. So that's what we're going to look at today, that your freedom isn't just for you. And what does freedom even mean? It's the ability, right, to be free. It's that dom on the end of freedom is the dominion, the domain of freedom. So it's being free. So I get to do what I want. Well, as Christ followers, we're free, not just to do what we want, but to do what God wants. And that's that holiness, right? He says, I'm holy, so you be holy. And he gives us his Holy Spirit to help us to, wait for it, be holy. Yes, be like him, be set apart, be used for his glory. And so Jesus is our example on that. And so I want to start right off the bat with a quote from Jesus. He says, the greatest among you shall be your servant. If you want to be great, if you want to be impressive, if you want to be a big deal, Jesus says, serve. That right there is proof that what you've been given isn't just for you. It isn't just for you. Look, my grandma, God rest her soul, I'm so thankful for her, Marilyn Day, she used to give, I'm grateful for all my grandmas, grateful for my grandma Carol too. I miss them both. God, in whatever way, we tell them I love them and miss them. All right, so here you go. My grandma Day used to give us gifts. That's not a big deal. Grandmas give gifts. She would give my brother Jason gifts on my birthday. And she would give me gifts on Jason's birthday. She just didn't want us to feel left out. But she'd give us gifts that we could use together, games and stuff like that. And it was so much better when we shared it. Now, I struggle with sharing. Jason was super, super kind, and he shared everything. And I just remember one time him getting a really cool gift on my birthday, and it just bummed me out. And he's like, oh, we can use it together. I just love that. Jason, thanks for that, by the way. But here's what I'm getting at. When she gave gifts, she wanted us to share them. She wanted us to use them and enjoy them, but it's so much better to share them together. And Jesus is saying this by saying, look, if you want to be great, serve. You want to be like God, serve. You want to be amazing, give your life away. And we find this in 1 Corinthians 9:19. And this is, we're going to look at 1 Corinthians 8 and 9 and 10 today a little bit. 8 entirely and 9 and 10 a little bit. But this whole idea is that you and I would prioritize others over ourselves, that we would love others with our freedom. That's another desired outcome for us. And 1 Corinthians 9:19 says it like this. This is Paul talking about all the freedoms that he has and all the authority that he has and all the ability he has to not be judged and not even worry about what other people think. And this is what he says in 9:19. For though I'm free from all those people, all that judgment, I've made myself servant to all, that I might win more of them. His whole goal was to win people to Jesus, that they would see Jesus and see the freedom in Jesus and the strength in Jesus and the life in Jesus and the service in Jesus, the blessing in Jesus. So that leads me to this. Are you loving people with your freedoms? Do you love people with the freedoms that you've been given in Christ in life? And then finally, what do you feel entitled to? What do you feel is yours? You deserve it. It's yours to hang on to. You want it so much. Guys, you can discuss that together. You can type it in there and have that kind of discussion. But I ask you those questions. Are you loving people with your freedoms? And what do you feel entitled to? That's a way to know if you're loving people with your freedoms, by the way, is what you feel entitled to. And do you just hang on to that? Now look, we're free in Christ. We're new in Christ. We're never, ever going to be let go in Jesus Christ. That ought to free us up to be really, really generous with our lives and to not hang on to all of our rights. But I'm going to tell you that as I think about this, one of the number one things that I get concerned about with my own self, and I have to work through this a ton, and one of the things that I've noticed that a number of other people, most of the people, in fact, that I interact with, feel entitled to this one thing, being happy. I want to be happy. That's what I feel entitled to. And so, back to the sex thing for a second, whatever makes me happy, I'm going to do. And what about other things? Don't I deserve to be happy? Okay, let's break down happy for a second. In the Word of God, you hear happy a little bit, but the word that really gets used for happy, and Jesus talks about this in the Sermon on the Mount in Matthew 5, 6, and 7, he talks about being blessed. That's what happy is, blessed, content, satisfied, overwhelmed, free. And so I want to go back to Acts for a second with this idea of being blessed. And what does Jesus say blessing is? So in Acts 20, 35, we got a quote from Jesus that isn't found anywhere else in the Bible. The attitude is found all the way through the Word, and especially in the Gospels. But right here in Acts 20, 35, Paul quotes Jesus, and so I'll just read it for you. In all things, Paul says, I've shown you that by working hard in this way, giving yourself over to and helping people and blessing people, and when you work hard in this way, we must help the weak and remember the words of the Lord Jesus. How he himself said, it is more blessed, happy even, more blessed to give than to receive. It's more blessed to give than receive. And so this is the attitude. What makes you happy? What makes you joyful? What makes you content? And I pray in Jesus' name that your life and my life and the lives of all of God's people everywhere would be transformed to know that it's better to give. It's more blessed, Jesus says, to give than receive. And both can happen. So with that, I found myself thinking about happy and happier and all that. And I'm not kidding you, as I was studying this on Tuesday, I was listening on my headphones because I get easily distracted. And so I was listening to these violin covers by Daniel Jang and the song Happier by Bastille, and Marshmello came out. My whole Marshmello thing, literally this producer, DJ, wears like this Marshmello mask thing. So there's a real person underneath it, but he has that going on. And this song, Happier, was playing, and I just said, oh man, I gotta look up the lyrics to that. And it was pretty profound. And it's an idea of self-sacrifice in that song. And then I think there's a lesson for us off of that. And so you're not gonna listen to it, but I am gonna read to you a few of the lyrics. So this is Happier by Marshmello and Bastille. Lately, I've been thinking. I want you to be happier. I want you to be happier. Then, only for a minute, I want to change my mind, because this just don't feel right to me. I want to raise your spirits. I want to see you smile. But no, that means I'll have to leave. So I'll go. You can hear it. This song bops. It's really cool, but the lyrics are even better. He's recognizing that for this person to be happy, he's going to have to leave. He's going to have to really die to himself. And I think that's powerful. But I want to say that sometimes for us, especially in relationship, that instead of leaving, we need to lay down our lives. We need to lay down our freedoms. We need to lay down our rights to ourselves. And again, I'm not dismissing this song by Bastille and Marshmello. I think it's really powerful. I think there's a message in it. It's kind of a weird video, though. If you watched it, I mean, it's about a dog and all that. But here's the point, and I'll bring it back. You and I have a chance to help others be blessed, to be happier. And we need to get rid of ourselves to do it. That doesn't mean that we don't use the gifts that God gave us and the personalities and all that. But we want to be a blessing to others. And Jesus said, if you want to be great, right, be a servant. Be a servant of all. And so, for many, many years, literally probably for the last 25 years, one of the most impactful teachers in my life has been a pastor who's passed away now, but his name is Warren Wiersbe. And as I was looking through this 1 Corinthians stuff, I saw a bunch of his notes and a bunch of his thoughts and was really impacted by it. So I want to give a shout out to him. And so here's what's up. We're going to look for the remainder of our time at some considerations that will help us to give up our freedoms for others. There's 4 in particular. And they're these. Consider number 1, your own attitude. And we'll unpack that in just a minute. Consider number 2, other people's knowledge, what they know, what they believe, what they feel. And then number 3, you and I need to actually consider other people outside of our own attitude and even outside of what they know. We need to consider other people's consciences, like what's going on in their conscience, what's convicting them, what frees them up. And then finally, as always, you and I need to consider Jesus. Consider him. Consider his attitude. Consider his example. And consider that your brothers and sisters, our family in Jesus Christ, are indeed a body of believers. The head of that body is Jesus. And we need to remember that as we live our lives, and as we love or as we alienate Christian people, we're actually treating Jesus that way. It is what it is. Check out Matthew 25 too. All right, so number 1, we're going to start out with considering your own attitude. We're going to go back to 1 Corinthians 8, like I said. And I want to tell you that what we're looking at in 1 Corinthians 8 is like an answer to a problem. Like they were having a division over people who would eat meat that had been sacrificed to idols. And something we don't deal with right now. We have food issues that we deal with. Some people are vegan, some people are vegetarian, some people eat meat, some people eat whatever, some people eat seafood, some people don't. I get that that's a thing, but for them, it was like a huge stumbling block for people. Some people in their spirit, in their conscience, were so worked up about meat that was sacrifice to idols that they felt like it affected them, that maybe a little bit of the demonic stuff would rub off on them. And some people, and Paul says this later on, they're strong in their faith and they feel like there's nothing that goes into my body, like Jesus says in Mark 7, nothing that goes into my body that makes me unclean. And so give me a burger. I love me some steak. I don't care where it's from. Let's go. And even if it was sacrificed to idols. And so he's saying right off the bat, right here in the first three verses of 1 Corinthians 8, consider your own attitude. And so we'll go to that. 1 Corinthians 8, 1 through 3. Now, concerning food offered to idols, we know that all of us possess knowledge. This is in quotes. Some people think that this was even a quote of some of their own philosophers around there. We all possess knowledge. Everybody's got knowledge, though, whether this was their philosophers or just us today in 2020. Everybody's got knowledge. We know everybody has this. But this knowledge, Paul says, puffs up. So puffs up, but love builds up. If anyone imagines that he knows something, he does not yet know as he ought to know. But if anyone loves God, he is known by God. So the fear of the Lord, Proverbs says, is the beginning of wisdom and knowledge. Knowledge applied is always going to be applied as a Christ follower lovingly. And so remember that you and I love God and others, always in that order. And how about this? To be known and to know deeply is truly intimacy. Hey, you're working on some intimacy issues in your life and in your marriage or in your relationship. Know God, love Him, and love others, and you watch yourself be able to grow in that reality. And this considering your own attitude is critical for that. And I want to remind you again that Jesus is filled with grace and truth. And you and I, as His followers, as His body, get to be the same. And it is going to be a lot of work to do that. Look, Paul was amazing at dealing with his own attitude. And God continually gave him challenges in his life. And we're going to study that in 2 Corinthians later on. But He challenged him with suffering and with challenges in his life, hardships that would lead him to really need God and rely on God. And one of the hardships for all of us is laying down our rights. So please join me in 1 Corinthians 9. And Paul really gets after it right here, considering his own attitude. He's like, am I not free? Verse 1. Am I not an apostle? Have I not seen Jesus our Lord? Are not you my workmanship in the Lord? If to others I'm not an apostle, at least I am to you, for you are the seal of my apostleship in the Lord. He's like, look, you know me. I am all these things that you know what's happened in your life. This is my defense to those who would examine me, he says. Do we not have the right to eat and drink? Do we not have the right to take along a believing wife? As do the other apostles and the brothers of the Lord and Cephas. Now he's like, look, I can do whatever I want. Don't I have those rights? If you don't think I'm a super apostle like those other ones, I'm at least an apostle to you because you know that I brought the truth and you came to Christ through me. And then later on here, he jumps to verse 12. And this is after in 1 Corinthians 9, which we're really not going to read at all. But in 1 Corinthians 9, he's like, look, if you bless somebody spiritually, it's right for them to bless you materially. And he says this in verse 12. If others share this rightful claim on you, do not we even more? Nevertheless, we've not made use of this right, but we endure anything rather than put an obstacle in the way of the gospel of Christ. Do you not know that those who are employed in the temple service get their food from the temple, and those who serve at the altar share in the sacrificial offerings? In the same way, the Lord commanded that those who proclaim the gospel should get their living by the gospel. But I've made no use of any of these rights, nor am I writing these things to secure any such provision. I'm not trying to work it. I'm just trying to tell you this is how I've lived, he said. For I would rather die than have anyone deprive me of my ground for boasting. For if I preach the gospel, that gives me no ground for boasting. For necessity is laid upon me. Woe to me if I don't preach the gospel. Look, he considered his own attitude, you guys. And his attitude was, I want people to know Jesus. So much so that I won't even hang on to all of my rights. And he was giving them an example how to consider their own attitude. Next, we're going to go to this considering other people's knowledge. Okay, consider what they know. Not everyone's at the same spot, right? Some people know more than others. Some people know less than others. And be patient like Jesus is with us. If you want to read a really cool parallel to this, by the way, Romans 14 is really strong in it. Really, really strong and a great way to consider all these things we're talking about. So consider your own attitude. Now consider the knowledge of others. And we'll go back to 1 Corinthians 8, 4 through 8. Therefore, as to eating of food, the eating of food offered to idols, we know that an idol has no real existence. It's made. And that there is no God but one. Shema, hear, O Israel, the Lord your God, the Lord is one. There's only one God. For although there are many so-called gods in heaven or on earth, as indeed there are many gods and many lords. Yeah, hold on, I want to make sure. Yet for us, there's one God, the Father, from whom all things and for whom we exist, and one Lord Jesus Christ, through whom are all things and through whom we exist. However, not all possess this knowledge. But some, through former association with idols, eat food as really offered to an idol, and their conscience, being weak, is defiled. Food will not commend us to God. We are no worse off if we do not eat it, and no better off if we do. Here, you guys, point people to Jesus. Help them understand the knowledge, not by look. You're weak in your mind. Be free. Do whatever you want. Don't get angry with people. Be patient with them and point them to the truth. The truth is Jesus. He said he is the way, the truth, and the life in John 14. Well, in John 8, he has a really wonderful invitation, if you will, to live in him and to live in his word. And so we're going to go to John 8, 31, 32 really quick. So Jesus said to the Jews who had believed him, if you abide in my word, you are truly my disciples, and you will know the truth, and the truth will set you free. Oh my goodness, that's so wonderful. Truth. Lovingly bring people to understand why you believe what you believe. Don't shove your freedom on them. Consider their knowledge. And if they're weaker in the faith, they've got things that trap them and they're freaked out about it and maybe even legalistic about it, then help them and show them in the word. Point them to the word. Abide in the word. Abide in his truth. Okay, so we're considering our own attitude. We're considering other people's knowledge. Now we need to consider other people's conscience, other people's convictions, right? Other people's concerns. I've heard it said that a conscience is like an inner judge. And so some people have strong conscience. They know truth. They know the way, the truth of life. And they're fine. And some people is weaker. They're not really sure what they believe yet. And so we're going to go back to 1 Corinthians 8, and we're going to take a look in 9 through 11, what it would look like for us to consider other people's conscience. Okay, so 8, 9 through 11. But take care that this right of yours does not somehow become a stumbling block to the weak. For if anyone sees you who have knowledge eating in an idol's temple, they didn't just eat food like donated or offered or sacrificed to idols. They'd actually go into that temple because they weren't worshiping it. they were eating. It was all you can eat, and they were going to get some. But if people go into an idol's temple and see you there, will he not be encouraged if his conscience is weak to eat food offered to idols? Well, I wasn't eating food offered to idols. I was just eating food. I don't believe in idols. But some people struggle with that. And there's more going on here than just food and idols. This could be drinking. This could be what you watch on TV, what you read. Some people are caused to stumble by things. And you and I ought to be aware of their conscience, is what this is saying. Verse 11, and so, by your knowledge, this weak person is destroyed, the brother for whom Christ died. But I want to unpack this a whole lot more, but I'm going to tell you, go out of your way to bless people. Go out of your way not to cause people to stumble. Go out of your way to serve people. 1 Corinthians 10 actually has a great picture of this. And we'll go right to the end of 1 Corinthians 10, 31 through 33. Again, I want to remind you that there's a lot at stake here when you and I have conviction. And there's other people that have different convictions. Look to bless people. Look to point people to Jesus. Honor Jesus. Do not compromise. This is not about compromising. Not about getting drunk to reach drunk people. It's not about being out of control to reach out of control people. 1 Corinthians 9, he says he becomes all things to all people that he might win some. But he does not compromise the truth of Jesus Christ. Okay, so let's go to 1 Corinthians 10, 31 through 33. So, whether you eat or drink, or whatever you do, boy, that covers it all, doesn't it? Do all to the glory of God. Give no offense to Jews or to Greeks or to the church of God. Just as I try to please everyone in everything I do, that sounds like a trap, right? Honor God, but try to help people. Try to bless people. Just as I try to please everyone in everything I do, not seeking my own advantage, but that of many, that they may be saved. Why do you do what you do? Consider other people's consciences. So you consider your own attitude, you consider other people's knowledge, you consider other people's conscience. And finally, let's consider Jesus. Consider him as the example. Consider his body, the believers, the church. Again, we'll go back to 1 Corinthians 8 and we'll finish that up. 1 Corinthians 8, 12 through 13. So verse 11, I'm going to read that for you really quick. And so by your knowledge, just exercising your knowledge and doing your thing because it's not a conviction to you, this weak person is destroyed. They're caused to stumble. This brother for whom Christ died. Thus, sinning against your brothers and wounding their conscience when it's weak. You sin against Christ, actually. Therefore, if food makes my brother stumble, I'll never eat meat, lest I make my brother stumble. This is really convicting for me. Not necessarily about meat, but about drinking. I don't get drunk. I'm not an alcoholic. But there's a lot of people in my life that struggle with drinking. And I need to be really careful with that. I constantly need to be careful with that. And I'm looking forward to the many ways to exercise this. Look, some of you are able to watch movies and they don't cause you to stumble, but other people are really struggling with that. Don't watch that. Know who your audience is. Don't cause people to stumble. You and I, and I gotta wrap this up, but we have this great principle to remember. And it's found in 1 Corinthians 10, 23 through 24. Jesus is our example. Our brothers and sisters in Christ are examples of him. They are the body of Christ, and we are not called to cause them to stumble. And so 1 Corinthians 10, 23 through 24 is really helping me to have strength in laying down my life and considering how to give up my freedoms to bless other people. Honor God first and foremost, be holy like he is, and then bless other people. And here it is. All things are lawful. We read this before, right? Or at least in 1 Corinthians 6. All things are lawful, but not all things are helpful or beneficial. All things are lawful, but not all things build up. Let no one seek his own good, but the good of his neighbor. This is laying down your life. Steve Mitchell's one of my fathers in the faith, one of my great mentors, discipled me and still does in lots of ways, but check this out. He said, if it looks like death, and it smells like death, and it feels like death, it's because it's death. These are hard things to do, and we have to lay down our lives. And we get to lay down our lives for others. Not just have to, but get to. I want to give you a couple things to think about before we part ways this morning. So this last week, and now we have it up on the screen for you. Having the right to do something doesn't make it right to do. And just because you can doesn't mean you should. This has so many applications. I'll just let that sink for a second. Just because you can doesn't mean you should. Consider other people. Consider your own attitude. Consider other people's knowledge. Consider other people's consciences, and always consider Jesus. Be like him, honor him, glorify him. Help other people. I want to ask you to consider this as an application, as something for you to take with you from today's message. Don't let freedom or freedoms become an idol. Don't cling to stuff so much. Cling to Jesus. Lay down your life. Give up something so you can bless others and even win them over to Jesus to help them to grow in their faith. Not just to be more like you, but to be more like Jesus. So that means just care about people, right? Care about what they're struggling with. Care about how your freedoms might actually impact them. And don't exercise those freedoms. Don't go blurting out all of your stuff and all of your convictions necessarily. Be convicted and live that way. Help them to know God by caring for them. Love them like Jesus. So I talked about Romans 14. We're going to end on that one. Romans 14, 17 through 19. Hope this will land for you. I hope this will encourage you. I hope this will help transform you. Lord Jesus, have your way in us as we read this small passage. In your name, amen. The kingdom of God is not a matter of eating or drinking, but of righteousness and peace and joy in the Holy Spirit. Whoever thus serves Christ is acceptable to God and approved by men. So then, let us pursue what makes for peace and for mutual upbuilding. Let us pursue peace and building up people. In the name of Jesus, I want to say this at the end. We're not talking about compromising. We're talking about not dying on the hill of your conviction, unless your conviction is Jesus is the way, the truth, and the life, and no man comes to the Father except through him. There are essentials that we have no kind of compromise in. But there are many, many things, convictions included, that go outside of the essentials that you and I don't have to shove in anybody's face. You have to live according to what God's told you to do, and so do other people. So consider them. And even if it's hard, love like Jesus. Will you pray with me? God, I thank you so much for this day. This is a tough message. It's so good, though, and I want to be more like Jesus. Help us to understand how to do that more. Help us to take you at your word. Help us to care about people. Lord, I want to thank you so much that our freedoms aren't what make us free. It's you that makes us free. So may we cling to you. May we help others to do the same. God, help us to have wisdom and knowledge how to apply this and how to live this out. I pray all this for your name, Jesus, and for your kingdom, for your church to be built up. Amen. All right. God bless you. Jesus loves you. Go love on people today. I'll see you next week. Peace. Hey, don't forget Tuesday, Wednesday, and Thursday, 9 a.m. right on Facebook. Prayer, worship, getting into the word, encouraging one another. That's great. it's needed, and while you're home, you might as well check it out. Or you can check it out later when you get back from work. All right, now I'm really gone. God bless you. Bye.